Jesus, be glorified in all things. When we're all my love, I am yours forever. You know, there was an old-time Pentecostal preacher who said revival will happen when we decide not to hold anything back for ourselves. You know, not giving him 92.3% or even 98.1%. And then there's just that little, that just that little 1% that one's mine. I got to keep that one, God. You know. But no, awakening and revival happens when you're like, hey, I'm willing to be embarrassed. I'm willing to be put out. I'm willing to be raw for the sake of your presence. Because it takes me to be a door and you to be a door wherever you are, a conduit for his presence. So you say, God, here, now, I'll give it all up for you. I'll talk to who you want me to, oh God. Not holding back, not one single thing. I am yours, forever yours. And you know, when soul ties happen and relationships seem to be the thing that makes you feel good down here, and he's like, will you give that up for me? Will you give them up to see my glory? My glory. Am I yours? Forever yours. Father, for me, I can't speak for the other people in here, but I say, take all of me. Take my hands, take my feet, take my eyes, my ears, what I speak. Oh, I'm yours, forever yours. Take where I walk, take what I say. Oh, take my morning, take all day. I'm yours, forever yours. Take how I work, take how I play. Take every hour of every day. I'm yours, oh, forever, forever. Oh, I'm yours. Forever yours. Break my heart with the things that breaks yours. Give me joy in the things that give you joy. May I be a conduit for your presence, my King. May I be yours, forever yours. Is that your prayer? Is that the longing of your heart? Or is it just the daily of the daily? Your alarm goes off at the same time every morning. We become creatures of habit. We take our prescriptions the exact same way every single morning. And he's saying, bust out. Bust out of the routine so you can see me. Bust out of your normal way of being. Open your eyes And I'll show you a great surprise. He'll manifest himself. Oh, he'll manifest himself. Yes, he'll manifest himself through you. It's not just the New Testament where they came in close proximity with the men of God, and they saw, they came, you know, it wasn't the shadow that healed them. It was how close they were to the presence. And are you willing to give it all up so that when someone gets close to you, their miracle can manifest, their healing can flow, conviction can come like the days of old, when the train would stop in the place of the man of God, they'd fall just right there as soon as they got off the train and say, I have to know him. I have to know the Father. I believe that there's a new wave of repentance coming, not only to the world, but also to the body of Christ, where we're not satisfied with how it was before, but we're ready for more. We're ready for more. We're ready for more. Thank you, Father. Come on, just raise your hands toward heaven and say, Lord, I thank you for more. I thank you for more. More of you. I mean, it's a thing. You dare ask it. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Sing it one more time, Jess, here. One more time, and however the Holy Ghost tells you to respond, just do that. To lift you high, Jesus, be glorified in all things. For all my life, I am yours. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence in this place tonight. The manifested presence of God. We thank you for it. Sevrema varian corovosto. Sovrema van stiliamandro vro pa frende. Ki fremevandro vro frene mamanste enevrananaste. Su che mamoreta e non mani io samavide corre subriamo la mafre da bambie subia della mafre chi ha turie a mafre nei su Padre, curie vade. Pastor Jeter and Diana, I was praying this afternoon, and I heard this word really loud in my heart. Actually, so loudly, I thought, "Whoa, am I supposed to preach about that?" But then But then now I was just over here, and I was reminded of it. And I believe it's for you and for the church specifically. But I heard the word strategy very loudly. Strategy. Supernatural strategy. And then I was kind of like my mind just went. And I remember Pastor Lynn Hammond, one autumn assembly. I don't remember which one it was. And I Googled it and I couldn't find it. So I believe that we'll search it out. But she was talking about the supernatural strategy for an area. And that the Lord will give the pastors in that area that specific strategy. And in that particular sermon, she talked about how the Lord impressed them to go downtown in the crummiest of area and rent a space right next to the gay bar. And they just went there and they had prayer teams three times a day because that's all they knew to do. They just knew they were supposed to have this space, and then it was right next to a gay bar, and they just prayed. Well, not long after that, the gay bar closed. Long story short, they expanded, and that became their downtown church ministry. And it was just about, like, no one could have told them to do that except for the Father giving them the strategy for that area. And no one else had the authority to do it except for them because they were in that area. And I just heard that he's just like tuning in because he's about to download a specific strategy for the Kelowna area. And maybe not Kelowna itself, I don't know, like whatever area that you feel he's given you, like that you're about to get like a download of strategy that's about to like just shake it all up. And that's for you too. There's a strategy for your house. There's a strategy for your children. There's a strategy for your marriage. There's a strategy for a supernatural God-given word that you can't figure it out with, 10 steps in a self-help book. It is a supernatural strategy for what the Lord has called you to do. And if you've been looking or asking, what in the world am I supposed to do? It's almost like I hear that. What in the world am I supposed to do? Say right now, I receive the strategy. I receive that strategy for, and then be specific, for my ministry, for my house, for my kids, for whatever. I receive the strategy. It doesn't mean it has to look like anybody else. You don't have to find it on Pinterest. It is the supernatural downloaded strategy for what God has called you to do. For such a time as this, in Jesus' name. If you receive it, say amen. High five two or three people. Say, man, we had church already. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was going to do that song, but I'm not going to do it now, so you don't have to worry about it yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to see you, Kelowna. I love you all so much. I feel like are we streaming? Can I be real? Or like, can people hear me? The last two churches were new. I hadn't been to those churches before. And so it's really good to see faces that you know. Let me just put it that way. It's really, really good to see faces that you know. And it's an honor to be here again. Pastor Dieter and Diana and the family are like my family, and so I appreciate y'all so very much. And remember, when Chip comes back, just tell him, oh, you're Kylie's uncle. She's awesome. Just keep that fresh. He did it to me the other day. So we're always kind of going to the same places but at different times. And so it's kind of a running thing. So praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful for who God is and what he is. And just knowing him intimately. This is not my message, so don't knock me from time. Oh, I forgot to put this on do not disturb mode. One moment, please. Talk amongst yourselves. This is a side journey, but I was thinking the other day, I had to give my CSIs and my Olivia Popes and all of Anybody else in here watch those things? Okay, you're so holy. I mean, what? So I had to give my my crime mystery shows to the Father because, like, secretly, I think I could have been one of those investigators trying to get up in everybody's business with their DNA and, you know, all of that. And I was thinking about something the other day, and I was thinking about knowing God intimately. And let's turn there for just because it's on my heart, so we'll just go with it. How about that? Ephesians, which we know, not anything new. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me, I say, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I may know. That word know, as we know, means to be intimately acquainted with. So not just like, oh yeah, I know. I know I live on Portland Lane. But like being intimately acquainted with the hope of his calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us with her belief, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And we know, I mean, because, you know, I'm related to Billy, so she wrote this part. Far above. It's a joke. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And had put all things, everybody say all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And I'd be disowned if I stopped there. So we have to keep going. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Aren't you glad? Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But back on up, I was thinking about the word to know, to be intimately acquainted with the Father. And for some reason, because my brain kind of treks a different way than most people, I was thinking about intimacy. And you know, the Greek word for intimacy comes from the same word that we get the word intercourse from. So a lot of people teach it that way. I think, yes, that's true, but I think that it doesn't mean, just because you're having sex with somebody doesn't mean you're in intimacy with them. We have a lot of marriages that are lacking intimacy, even though they might handle all the business. This is just how I am, so you just have to kind of get it. I said sex in church. Okay, now that's over. You all right? Pastor Dieter fell out. Someone get him a modesty cloth. But get what I'm saying here. It takes extra responsibility to cultivate the intimacy in a relationship. It's not just something that your body wants to do. It's something that you have to cultivate that intimacy. Well, same thing with the intimacy with the Father. You have to cultivate that intimacy. It's not just something that falls on you, as Brother Hagin would say, like ripe cherries off a tree. But in me, like, I can talk about Jimmy Gatewood because I've been intimate with Jimmy Gatewood. That's my husband, just so you know. Don't get it confused. Okay, so I have cultivated intimacy with Jimmy Gatewood. I know Jimmy Gatewood. I know Jimmy Gatewood so well. I could actually probably predict what he is doing at this exact moment, though he's 3,000 miles away. Jimmy Gatewood is a creature of habit. I know his habits. Anybody can relate, right? So what? How has that happened? We've been close. Now, these CSI, these crime scene investigating things, sometimes there is a situation where a body has to be identified. And there's not the whole body there to identify. Now, don't look at me like I'm morbid, but just trek with me for a minute. The whole body's not there. But they see a piece of that body, and they're able to say, yes,
Yes, that's him. I guarantee this will never happen. Plead the blood. If I just saw my husband's foot, I'd know that's my husband's foot. If I just saw a thumb, I'd know that's my husband's thumb. Why? Because I have gotten close to him. Same with the plan of God. When you get so close and intimate with the Father, he may not be showing you the whole picture, but you'll know it's the plan by little pieces. Little piece, little, oh, that's not big, but that's something little. I know I'm on the right track. I'm trekking in the right direction because I can identify. I'm so intimate with him. He doesn't have to show me the whole thing. I want to know the whole thing. I have to lay down my underlying control issues because I want to know the whole thing. But I've been so intimate with him that just a tiny piece of it, I can say that's the plan of God. I'm trekking in that direction. So it doesn't. So when you can identify those little checkpoints along the way, those little tiny things along the way, when all hell breaks loose, you're still secure in the fact that, no, I'm steady. I'm steady along that way. I'm steady there. Why? Because you've been intimate with him. You've taken the time to abandon yourself and just be like, here it is. Here's my little toe. Here's what it looks like. Here's all the good, the bad, and the ugly. Here I am. Here you are. And when you reveal yourself to him, he totally reveals himself to you. I was reading in a book the other day by Lisa Brevere called Adamant. And here's the quote she put in this book that like jumped off the page to me. She said, "You are more than what you can see. You are more than what you can do." So many times when you're like, you introduce yourself to somebody, it's almost natural to say, "Hi, my name is Kylie. I'm a preacher." What? We've attached what we do to who we are, trying to justify that I'm somebody we're talking to, right? But you're more than what you do. You are more than what people can see. There is no competition in God. It just needs to be repeated. There is no competition in God. And the moment the competition tries to raise up, you can be like, nope, nope. You know that's not from the Father. You can't be measured by what you lack. You are somebody that no one can even see. You need to know who you really are. There's so many mixed messages sent to you, but your Father is adamant about stripping away the labels that you have been called. You are way more, this is a quote in her book, you are way more than single, divorced, married, a mom, a grandmom. You are not the darkness of your past. You are not the darkness of your present. You are a child. For so many years, if I can just get real, my name was Kylie Oaks, Billy Brim's granddaughter. I mean, that's cool. She's awesome. But part of the time, if you don't know my story, I went crazy. Get the book. You'll find out a lot more. And it was a great hook, wasn't it? It was awesome. And part of the reason, the way that the enemy got in was saying that you are no more than Billy Brim's granddaughter. And my identity was not in the fact that I was Kylie Oaks, a child of the Most High God, who had her own individual anointing and call. But I was Billy Brim's granddaughter, which is, y'all, I'm not making light of it. It's an honor and a privilege. But I had to find out who God made me to be. I don't preach like them. They preach white. I have a little more color. You can't tell, but I do. Use your x-ray glasses or something. I don't sound like them. And I had to become okay with the fact that I am different than the rest of that clan down there. But I'm who God made me to be. And I think we have a whole bunch of church people who are trying to be somebody else. I tried to be Carrie Job. It didn't work. I tried to be Beyonce. That didn't work either. I had to be me. Who are you? Who has he made you to be? And to be secure enough in the fact of that's who he made you to be. Now, we have a whole movement right now called mom shaming. And mom shaming is a real thing. Like, these moms over here don't give vaccines, but these moms over here do. So we're going to talk bad about the ones who do, or we're going to talk bad about the ones who don't. Or these moms over here are so good. They have 14 different projects for their kids to do. They're doing texture experiments and all kinds of greatness. This one just gets an iPad because it's really all I can do to keep from going crazy. But they shame one another. And you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You haven't worked hard enough. You're not educated enough. You're not this. You're not that. You're not the other. Guess what? It doesn't matter. Be who you are. Be who he made you to be and be proud of the fact. Stand up high. You know what? The eyes of my understanding have been so enlightened that I'm secure in who he made me to be. I'm secure in who he made me to be. The devil knows if he can challenge your identity, he can hinder your destiny. I'll say it again for a tweet or something. The devil knows if he can challenge your identity, he can hinder your destiny. If you're trying to be somebody else, you will not fulfill what God puts you on the planet to fulfill. Romans chapter 6, if you would, please. Turn on your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 6. In verse 4. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because I'm a woman and it's Amplified and there's more words and we can just identify with more words. Can all the men say amen? Okay. Men, you might need to go back to something a little more basic. Okay, so I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Okay. We were buried therefore with him by the baptism unto death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, these are my favorite four words, so we too might habitually live and behave in the newness of life. You are not the darkness of your past. You're not what somebody else told you you are. You have been raised into the newness of life. And not just living there when you got born again, but habitually living in the newness of life every single day. For we have become one with him by sharing a death like his. We shall also be one with him in his resurrection. By a new life lived by God. If you want to experience the newness of life, you cannot keep looking at the yearbook of your past. I could live there, y'all. I was the only one in my family that went as cray-cray as I did. I could live there. I could live in shame. I could live in guilt. I could live in depression for the rest of my life. But guess what? He didn't just bear our sicknesses and our disease. He bore our shame. It says it in the word. He bore our shame. And so many times we're like, yeah, he'll take our sin, but what about this thing that's left over that I'm carrying? And he said, no, baby, give me that too. Let me bear the shame that came along with it. I don't know who it's for. He just told me to say it. Romans 8, verse 1 in the Johnson translation. You probably don't have that, so I'll read it to you here. The King James says, there is therefore now no condemnation to him, those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? Sounds nice. I like this one better. Now there is no accusing voice nagging those who are united with Christ. There is no accusing voice nagging those. How many of you ever heard the nagging voice of the enemy? Your thoughts, I mean, just nagging the mess out of you. And men know nagging doesn't work. Women, nagging doesn't work. So why should we let it work with the devil? He said, there is therefore now no condemnation, or there is therefore now no nagging voice, no accusing voice, sorry, nagging those who are united with Christ. Well, how do I get united with Christ? You weren't united with him when you were born again, when you were raised up with him, when you were resurrected with him. But you get united and feeling of united whenever you are choosing to become intimate with him. That's when the nagging voice stops. Think about David. If I were to take a poll on what would you all say was David's biggest mess up? What was her name? Ding. Yo, Bathsheba taking a bath on the roof. Like, she was just asking for it. That's all I got to say. But, just kidding. So she's up there. She's taking a bath. He's like, whoa, wonka, wonka. He's like, I see that. I want that. I'm going to have that. So he goes, and not only does he do that, then he's like, kill her husband. Let's, like, off with his head. So they send him off to war, and there he goes. Pretty bad deal. Did you like how I just acted that out right there? Yes. So, pretty bad situation. Not the best choice he ever made in his life. But guess what? Who came out of the, who was the product of David, an old bath girl? Solomon. And the Bible says Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And most of the time, your greatest wisdom can come from your greatest mess up. So instead of living in the shame of it, you say, you know what? I'm taking off the shame of this. But I sure am going to learn something in this process. Because I'm not going back to the valley of oh no. I'm not going back to that before. I'm not going to live in the cycle of offense over and over and over again. Or I'm not going to live in the cycle of, for me, it was, my self-esteem was so low that I lived in the cycle of, well, this person will make me feel better. This person will tell me the right things. If this person said the right things, said I look good, da-da-da-da-da, then that means that that's where I got my value. That's where I got my strength. If through somebody else. When my value and my strength should only come from the Father. He bought and paid for me with the most precious currency that ever existed. And with that currency and realizing what that currency is and realizing how special I am and who my identity is, then he can no longer stop the plan of God for my life. Why? Because I had become intimate with him and he downloaded into me the cycles of offense that tried to come, the cycles of dependency that tried to come, the filters that I was looking at everybody through. But that's washed away. When you say, okay, this happened, stuff happens. But my greatest wisdom is going to come right now. Lord, help me see it. Identify it to me. Open my eyes to find the wisdom in this. Open my eyes so that I don't trip over the same thing I've been tripping over, over and over and over again. Open my eyes to see. Does that make sense to anybody? Lord, help me receive the wisdom. The wisdom in whatever's happening. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 43, a familiar verse of scripture. James Long said, while you're turning there, he said, one reason God created time was so there would be a place to bury our past. One reason God created time was so there would be a place to bury our past. Let it bury, y'all. Let it go. In the words, I think I did this last year, but because I have two girls, I hear this song a lot. Let it go. Let it go. Be one with the wind and sky. Sorry. Okay. 43. Verse 18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, that means look. Look, take a look. I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That means that this person is in the desert. And if they look with their natural eyes, it's going to look dry. It's going to look desolate. But he's saying, look, but look at me. I'll make some rivers and I'll make some streams. And you may be looking like you're in a desert right now. But he said, if you come to me, get intimate with me, allow me to show you who you really are. You're going to see waters in the most dry places. You're going to see streams in the most dry places because I'm doing something new. And wherever the soles of your foot shall tread, you'll have possession of that land. And whatever you put your hand to, it shall prosper. He didn't say that in the middle of Hawaii. He said, no, in the desert, in the dry place, in the place that stinks and it hurts and you can't figure out why. He said, no, baby, if you're looking at the right thing, you're going to see the streams. If you're looking at the right person, you're going to see the rivers. And if you're looking at the right person, you're going to see the new. The new that's busting out. Isaiah 54. In verse 2. So instead of cowering back when you're in the desert or when you hear the nagging voice of accusation, taking a look at the Father, getting intimate with him in a new way that you've never been before, he says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Stretch your stakes. Forward march, they say in the military. Whenever they're going into new territories, they don't go into a new territory just like, got a shiny gun. Look at my outfit. Camo. No, what are they doing? They're focused and they're moving forward. And I don't know who this is for. I haven't preached this whole week. I've been preaching something else. But for some reason, Kelowna, somebody here needed to hear, stop living in the yearbook of what has happened. It happened. Move forward. Forward march. I think about this lady has a necklace right now. And I know that these are gems, but it makes me think of a strand of pearls. You think about a pearl. A pearl was made by a clam or a mollusk. Contrary to proper belief, it's usually not a grain of sand. It's usually a parasite that invades the clam or the mollusk. What's a parasite sent to do? Pretty much eat the life out of the inside of you. So the clam or mollusk says, excuse me, invading parasite. If he didn't do anything about it, it would kill him. It would cause internal damage. But instead, God's super smart. And he gave the clam or the mollusk this substance that comes out of it. called Nyker. And this Nyker identifies the invading substance, the invading parasite that is sent to cause internal damage and forever damage this thing to the point where it dies. So you think about in terms of our life, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't just want to just make you sad. That's not enough for him. He just doesn't want to make you poor. That's not enough for him. He wants to push you to the edge until you can't go any further. Understand the strategy of the enemy. So he sends these things into your life, the enemy does, to try to cause internal damage to your life, to cause to hurt you so badly that you could never have another relationship again, or hurt you so badly that you can never trust again, or hurt you so badly that this, that, and the other. But there's a substance on the inside of every believer that, when used appropriately, will then start to coat that parasite. And it coats it, and it coats it, and it coats it, and it coats it, until people pay lots of money for a coated thing that was meant to destroy. So he brings the newness of life out of stuff that stinks and stuff that hurts. If you choose to allow the anointing and the power and the restorative process of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us to coat those things that were meant to destroy us, to coat those nagging voices, to coat those situations and circumstances in life that could take you out. But you say, no, baby, I'm making a pearl out of this, and I'm going to run with patience. I'm running with patience. It's interesting. It takes 3 years to do that in a natural setting. 3 years, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three, completion, like all the things. When I decided that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, when I sat in that room in the state mental facility after a really serious suicide attempt, when I sat there and there were really crazy people in there and I just had a strip search to make sure that I didn't have anything to hurt myself or hurt anybody else, and I was humiliated, I was broken, I was used up. The enemy in my mind called me every name in the book. He told me how stupid and dumb I was, how if I was really a Christian, none of this would have happened. He's making me question my salvation. He was making me question my sanity, all the things. And I sat in that room that day, and I said, this is not me. This is not me. I really know my heart of hearts, this is not me. Like, I'm struggling right now. I'm not going to deny that. But this is not the real Kylie Oaks. This is not the real me. And whenever I made a decision to go forward, each year after that, and if you need to know, it's in my book, The Steps That He Gave Me. Each year after that, I got stronger. At the end of year 3, I did not recognize myself. You're like, it's going to take me 3 years to get... No. Like, quit. But at the end of year 3, I realized that I could then start using that thing that was meant to hurt me into kicking the devil in the teeth everywhere I went. At the end of year 3, I had forgiven myself. Which is sometimes the hardest process. And you know when do you know how you know if you've actually forgiven someone or forgiven yourself? You can think of the incident and there's no emotional attachment to it. There's no emotion that comes up whenever that comes. But I heard the Holy Ghost say to me today, he said, I'm bringing you into the new. The new strategy, the new path. Yeah, he might not tell you anything different than what you were called to do, but he's giving you a fresh and a new vitality to run it with it. He's allowing you to and showing you a fresh revelation of who you are, a fresh revelation of the anointing that he placed on your life. Just close your eyes for a second. And whoever this is for, I'm not even going to have you raise your hand or anything. But I feel like that there has been something, a situation, a circumstance, sometime a something that was meant to destroy you. It was like a parasite that had come and it has tried to eat you from the inside out. And I say right now, in the name of Jesus, allow the anointing on the inside of you. You already have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Allow that Spirit, that anointing, that presence to wrap that thing up. Wrap it up like a pearl. And make something beautiful out of this thing that was sent to destroy you. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. The new. He's making it new. He's making you new. He's restoring all the things that concern you. He's perfecting those things which concern you. Perfecting them. He's perfecting them. He's perfecting them.
Stand to your feet if you would.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Anybody not filled with the Holy Ghost? Perfecting the things that concern you. And he's bringing you into the new. The new. The new. No sign. It'll
be like you went through it and you don't even smell a smoke. You don't even smell a smoke. Like you will never even know that it all happened. And there in the bravre and there's a freshness now coming on you. Ooh, it's so fresh, Lynn. It's so fresh. And there's going to be, so many ways that the Lord's going to use it. So many ways. I don't know what that is, but with so many ways. And it's going to be like that thing that was sent to destroy you, destroy your family. You're wrapping it up. It's a beautiful pearl. You're putting a bow on it, and you're going forward. Going forward. Ha, ha, ha. Revara. Anybody else? Kerevrosa, something was sent. Ah, rebeste. Koravaste, la bavrande. Koravaste, mavam, amberoborobofre. Aha. You feel like you're on the border of something big. You feel like you're not satisfied in the spot where you are right now. And you feel like you're just on the edge of something new. And I de brafa mandjela bavombro. Astubre venanjela mavranda bibol. Come up right here. La bavara bovosta ambavarioto braviana. I know it's somebody. Hey, bravanamo. And we'll just sit here and wait. Parafombra habrovosta. Ye prefandi le bambara bovrasi amamba de la barasi. Corravanste en amavra orobefre. Subrovo manine manje elabatfre taste ba vajte labamede. Le frambi bro bafanste elebe. Hey, namande. And I say in Jesus' name, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Ha ha. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Because the Lord's your shepherd. Ha ha. He's your shepherd. He's your guide. Again. The devil's been lying to somebody, trying to tell you that you're something that you're not, or you're someone that you're not. He's trying to challenge that identity so that he can hinder your destiny. If that's you, we'll wait a few minutes for you. He's been trying, he's been nagging, he's been trying to have you think that you're something or someone that you're not. That's the word I have. Meet me up here. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place
a place for me. I'm chosen. Come on, sing it, church. Not against me, I am who you say. I am chosen. I am not forsaken. Come on, there's somebody else. I am who you say I am. Chosen, saken. I am who you say I am. Come on, there's somebody else. Oh yeah, I am who you say I am. Woo! Woo! Poo! I am who you say I am. Who the sun say I'm free is free indeed. I'm a child of Father's house. There's a, oh, it has your name on it. Child of God. You know, our Father's so gracious. He's so kind and he's so full of compassion. And he gives second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. And I can't close this service until you get up here, whoever you are. He's waiting for you. Oh, so we'll sing it again. Who the? Ha, ha, ha. Woo. Ha, ha, ha. Woo. Come on, somebody else. Oh, yes, I am in my fire. There's a place. Oh, yeah. I am free. So very free, yeah. Oh yeah, woo, ha, hey, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Woo! another one there. Woo! 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 Live tipsy. Woo! 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 Shh. Rabavere bavasti. Ha ha ha. Woo! Yup, 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 yup. Woo! Hey, bavastosti, brava, rabo, frufu. He could hold the rabavis. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody praise. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. Ha ha. Forward march. Forward march. Forward march. We claim our new territory. We claim the new assignment. We claim the fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Say this, I'm not going back. I'm not rehearsing it anymore. I'm not camping out there anymore. I receive the new, the fresh anointing, the fresh strength, the fresh, the new tongues, the new empowerment, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.